Ray Ferraro joins us. Talk a little NHL. Ray, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Tony Gwynn was my second favorite player growing up. Jim Rice was my first with the Red Sox. And, I mean, they were just such different players. Like, Gwynn was such a... Oh, he could do just about anything with the bat. If he needed a home run, he could hit it. If you talked about his average in his career. But the stretch there in the strike season that he got it up to 386. And you know how guys, when they get close to 400, actually start off hot and then tail away?
Yeah.
He was getting hotter as this going on.
Oh, I know. Well,
it's incredible numbers. Like, he went... I want to say he had under 10 swing and misses. Like, how could that be?
Yeah, no, he struck. I remember the 1 year in 606 plate appearances. Like, he only struck out 23 times, which, you know what, in baseball is just, it's mind blowing how good he was. And
what a sad thing. And the other thing too about all his numbers and all that, that's one thing. But everything I read about him is just what an incredible person he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he tried a couple of times to kick the dip habit, and he cooked, and, you know, he was pretty certain that's how he ended up with cancer, and just before, just far, far too young.
Yeah, it's brutal. Very brutal for him, for sure. Ray, the LA Kings, dominating their second Stanley Cup now in three seasons. And, you know, this team... I don't see any major holes where suddenly, well, you know what, it was kind of the last of their hurrahs and they're going to have to break the team up or they're getting old. You know, a lot of their great young guys are still in the prime of their career, and especially on the back end, and Voinoff and Martinez and Doughty, those guys are likely only getting better.
It was pretty impressive what they did. You know, where the stress marks come for them be, you know, what becomes in a year or so of Justin Williams, they're a little bit old, you never noticed his play. I mean, what a unbelievable playoff he had. Willie Mitchell's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, and they may or may not be able to sign him. I would think they'll probably move Matt Green, who's unrestricted as well. Really nice job for Los Angeles coming in and, you know, various times in the year, and then became kind of a, you know, what we all know of Matt, you know, became like a real leader and a real character guy and a core of the penalty kill. And those are kind of the stress marks, but, oh, and I guess the other one is Marion Gaborik's a free agent. You know, what are they going to do with Gaborik? But their core guys, Doughty, Quick, Kopitar, I mean, Jeff Carter's still young, got 100 years left on his contract. Toffoli and Pearson had a real shot of speed and scoring to their lineup. They've got another young guy in Lyndon Vay, who's probably real close to playing next year. They're in great shape. They really are.
The New York Rangers, on the other hand, Ray, they go to the Stanley Cup Final. You know, they could lose a fair amount of guys. Give me your impressions of Anton Strahlman. People are falling in love with this guy, and you know, I look at him and I think he's a good defenseman, but he's also playing with Mark Stahl, who's very underrated, and coming off his concussion, I think is a hell of a player. How good is Strahlman in your mind, or do you think he's a candidate for a gross overpayment this year in free agency?
Is a 4D who has really improved from his earlier day in Toronto, and he was, you know, just a in and out of the lineup guy, and you know, he's gotten older and more mature, and not hurting to play with the defense partner he has. And the second part of your question is, I think he is a candidate for somebody to way overpay for him. You know, I mean, I think Strowman had one goal this year.
Yeah.
So, and it's different goals for different guys. If you're going to pay a guy like Anton Strahlman $5 million, you still get a zero on the score at the end of the night. And at the end of the day, you've got to put numbers up on that board. So I think Strahlman's a four. Not a physical guy. He's a smart guy. Plays, rarely puts himself in trouble. You know, I did much of their first Philadelphia, and I was really impressed with him, really impressed. But I'm not, you know, I'm not looking my book anyway, he's not more than a four for me.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. And but we see it in free agency all the time. You know, he's 27 years of age, him and Matt Niskanen. There's, you know, a lot of the other defensemen who are good are, you know, on the other side of 30 by quite a bit. And so when it's limited numbers, Ray, supply and demand, all these GMs now think, man, if we get this Anton Stralman, suddenly our defense is way better. But he's not a $5.5 million or $5 million defenseman, but he's likely going to get paid like one.
Well, that's what you have scouts for. And so if they're going to pay him $5.5 million, then their pro scouts aren't doing their job. And this is not disrespectful to Anton Stralman, who won a hell of a year and was a terrific for the Rangers in the playoffs. It's reality. It's fact. I mean, he's not a $5 million player. But if some team's going to do it, there's one thing that Strowman's going to have to decide himself. Does he go, say the Rangers offer 4.25? And he gets a $5 million offer from a bad team. Does he want to stay in? If he does, he's going to take a little money perhaps because they've got to fit some other guys in their cap. Or do you become like lots of guys do? It's their one big chance to get, and you become a little bit of a mercenary. You go where the money is, and you go, well, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years we get a team that can compete. You know. In that middle for a team, you never know once you get in. I mean, maybe he'll look at it like that. I don't know. But somebody is going to run off and lick his chops at.
We're going to try to get a better connection with Ray just during the break. We'll call him back just so we can hear. He's got a lot of good stuff to say, so we want to hear it clean. So we will try to connect with that and get it back in a second. Hey, Gregor, should the Oilers go after Grabowski? Mike, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mentioned that for a while. There's nothing wrong with having some battles rather than going into training camp as a 27th place team, 28th place team, and saying, okay, this spot's taken, this spot's taken, this spot's taken, and all these spots are guaranteed to, what, your top 14 or 15 skaters? Doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, for sure. I would at least look at it. Obviously, contract is... everybody's going to get some sort of overpayment in free agency for the most part, especially the guys who go in the first few days. But that's part of it. And, yeah, I think the Oilers lack of depth, I would definitely look at Grabowski at least as an option. Ray, what do you think the free agent interview period, how different will it be? Because I can say for sure on record, I had a conversation with an agent, I won't say his name, who told me, and this was coming back from the draft 2 years ago, he was on a plane, he told me exactly who his clients had went to see already before free agency. The only thing now is I guess it's more of an even playing field rather than teams, you know, breaking the rules, which happened all the time.
Yeah, I would say that's one thing to look at it. I would say the possibility of less mistakes being made is probably going to happen. And why I say that is, so you're going to make an offer for a player and the player knows that he's going to have 2 or 3 teams bidding for you. Well, if the guy wants to get the deal done on July 1st, he's going to put the screws to somebody and say, I need a decision. Either, you know, we're at X number of dollars, X number of years by 4 o'clock, or I'm going to sign with somebody else. Well, now you've got, 5 days of, you know, kind of a ramp up to it. And you're going to be able to kind of weed out a little bit of the process if you're the teams. You're not going to have to make a snap decision with millions of dollars that are, you know, that you might not want to commit, that you might emotionally commit, and then 2 weeks later go, you know what, I shouldn't have done that, or 2 years later, shouldn't have done that. So I think there's a real benefit to it. You could give teams a year, and somebody's going to make a terrible decision somewhere. I mean, it's going to happen. And when you try to build your team on July 1st, you're likely not going to be very successful. If you're trying to fill spots, that's when you've got a chance to be most successful.
Ray Ferraro, analyst for TSN, joins us. If you're Craig McTavish, what is priority number one in free agency?
Priority one. I would like to find a veteran defenseman. But, you know, you just mentioned there's a couple of guys 27 and everybody else is north of 30. So you might have to address that through a trade route. Because I'll give you an example. Somebody's going to pay Brooks Orpik a lot of money. And I don't know that that would be the direction that I would want to go. You still have to be able, again, you got to be able to defend, you got to be able to skate, and Orpik's not the most nimble guy, and you got to be able to move the puck, and that's not a strength for him. I would say if I could, they need a couple of more stout forwards in the top six for sure. Now, that might change if they get the guy they want at the draft. You know, if they get a Draisaitl, and that's perhaps where they think to go, or they move down and they look at another, you know, maybe it's a Richie, somebody, you know, one of these big power guys. Maybe that changes what they look for a little bit. But there's no question that top six has to be more diverse than it is now. And I would say that should be priority one, and a defenseman priority 1A, or the other way around. I mean, it's pretty clear, I think.
Yeah, well, to me, I look at the order. I really think, Ray, they need to sign two or three veteran NHL defensemen so they have legitimate depth of seven or eight guys. And if that means Oscar Klefbom or Martin Marincin, one of those two, start the season in the minors, that's fine. And if they get so good that you have to find room for them, then, you know, you can move a veteran guy or whatever if you have to, or sit him as your number seven.
Yeah, the problem with that, though, okay, they got to sign two or three NHL defensemen. Where are you finding them?
Well, I went through the free agent list today. Now, and none of these guys, by the way,
other people are. It's got nothing to do with whether they want to come to Edmonton or not. Other teams are looking for this too, and so that's the, you know, the big thing used to be in free agency. We need a big winger that can score.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So does everybody else. And so that's why I say if you're trying to build your team on July 1st.
Oh yeah, no.
You're screwed because, you know, you put all your hopes on getting player A, and player A decides to go to a different place. Then what? You know, so I think you can maybe set your strategy that, you know, we'd like to add some veteran pieces on free agency, and then you have to be prepared for the fact that you're likely not going to get what you know as much as you want. You know, you're just not going to be able to find it.
I guess I look at the orders, and rather I think they'd be better off, Ray, going, even if it's late, and you know, like last year Ron Hainsey signed in September. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're guys.
Ron Hainsey would have been a good sign.
Yeah, like those type of guys, where even on a 1-year deal, if that means right. Oscar Klefbom or Martin Marincin get delayed a little bit and having to be rushed to the NHL, I think it saves them and helps them long term.
Well, Jason, I mean, we just watched the LA Kings win the Stanley Cup. We watched last season when San Jose came in there and manhandled that young defense.
Yep.
And it's not going to get any easier. Anaheim's not going backwards. You know, they're getting better too. And so if I understand the excitement of Marincin, who did a really good job, I thought, and Klefbom, who, you know, had a far smaller sample size, but I understand the enthusiasm for them, but man, oh man, you can get over your head in a hurry. And so if you can find serviceable veterans that can, and you're not just looking for a guy to fill out the jersey. I mean, he's got to be able to help you. And if you can find one or two of those, man, that'd be great. Look what happened last year, though. They brought in Andrew Ferentz, who I happen to think is a good defenseman. But, man, they were asking him to do too much. And it becomes diminishing returns. A guy like Mike Weaver, who was, you know, kind of a, oh, yeah, that guy pickup at the deadline, did an unbelievable job for Montreal, but he played in the third pair. You know, a lot of times teams that are developing, they get a veteran guy and they need him to do more than he's capable of doing. And that's a little bit of a danger for Edmonton, a team like Edmonton as well.
Oh, well, you know, Edmonton had so many issues. I agree. I wouldn't try to build the team in free agency at all. They've got to continue with the young guys. But there's so many people like Marincin and Klefbom are both left-hand defensemen. They're both young. Justin Schultz has only played 120 NHL games. Jeff Petrie is just over 200. Like, you have that much youth on the back end, Ray. There's a reason why the Edmonton Oilers gave up the most amount of goals in the NHL last year. Like, I think they need some veteran guys who might not be flashy, but just to protect this team so they're not getting blown out night after night.
Well, it, you know, I don't know the number, but I want to say Edmonton was among the busiest teams in trades during last season. You know, they brought in a guy like Mark Fraser, and they, you know, tried to address something. The you know, some toughness, a little more stoutness on their blue line. The problem is the guys that become available, they've got warts on them too. And so if you're, I think they have to have a general picture here. Okay, which one of these guys, of the young guys, are we really sold on? Like for right now. Not for the future, but for right now. Because you don't want to, in my opinion, you don't want to start with three of them back there. You start with three of them and you're going to get burned. Eventually, you know, somebody's going to break down because just of what we've seen over the course of time, just how difficult the position is to play. And so if you can, you know, maybe it's Marinson because, you know, I would say Marinson's ahead of Klefbom. So you're going to have Petrie, you're going to have Schultz, and you're going to have Marinson. Say those are in your top seven. That's enough. You know, you've got to put some older people there as well. But the trick is, how do you find them? Do you find them free agency or do you find them through a trade? And that's, you know, that's where Craig McTavish and the management group have to do a little bit of a balancing act, because if you get to July 1st and you haven't, and the guys aren't there that you think are going to be there because they've signed somewhere else, well, you can't panic and just sign a bunch of B guys. You know, you still have to explore then whether you can trade and maneuver your lineup around that way, because they have people that they can and likely will move somewhere along the line.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. We will chat again soon.
Yeah, I assume Meg watched a little bit of the U.S. Open, which was my go-to event for the weekend, which absolutely turned out to be, oh yeah, I didn't even watch it. My God, that guy could have played 1,000 holes.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Keimer wasn't going to lose anything.
No, that was it's kind of like the Spurs against the Heat. Like they're just dominating.
Wasn't that something? And then the other, you know, this is awesome about where sports are. You know, LeBron's a failure because they didn't win three straight. Oh, he is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a failure.
I know. Yeah, he's only been to the final four times, right? Because evidently in a team sport, if your team doesn't win, the individual player somehow stinks. Like we've gotten way too much. Like I understand that winning matters, and of course that's what the goal is, but it can't be the basis if we're having a straight player versus player analysis on who's the best player. Because if even in hockey, if you're a great forward, there's still 38 minutes where you're not on the ice. And even the best defenseman, Drew Doughty, still half of the game, more of it, he's not on the ice. You need good teams to win, not just great individuals.
Well, there's histories littered with great players that never won. They just didn't have the right cast around them. That's just the way it was. And sometimes you end up, there's guys that I call them the accidental tourists. They're standing in the right spot and their team wins five times while they're standing there. You know, they contribute and they do their job, but it doesn't mean they're better than the next guy. They just were in the right spot and did their job. So I just find that stuff nonsensical. I mean, I can't imagine a team around that wouldn't be interested in adding LeBron James to their lineup.
Oh, man, I'd love to see him go back to Cleveland, opt out, go back to
wouldn't
Cleveland.
Wouldn't that be awesome? They'd have to re-put up those billboards.
Yes, but they would love it. Cleveland fans, they'd be all over them. They'd love it. And the fact they got Irving and they're going to have the number one pick this year, I could see it happening. I think it'd be great.
Just have to decide if he wants to go back. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of decision for him here. If he leaves, he's probably going to do just fine.
Yeah, I think most teams would find a way to get LeBron in their lineup.
Yes, they could move some cap around.
Well, Ray, we'll talk to you next week leading up to the draft. Man, the next 3 weeks, lots happening. Trades, draft, free agency, arbitration. It'll be great.
You betcha there will be. Awesome, Jason. Have a great week.